Thank you so much, worship band, for leading us in that. Such a joy to praise God together. Such a joy to be able to see your faces. I have looked forward to being able to see your smiles for a long time, and also to hear your voices. I can hear it more today, and in the singing, just a real joy to praise God together. Hey. I have shared with you in the past about my wife's health. My wife has a really severe case of allergy-induced asthma, and it's something that she's been dealing with for almost a year. So we've been here 2 years, and about 10, 11 months ago is really when it started kicking in. We've been on a really long journey with it. You've heard me share about it, but I wanted her to have a chance to share. She actually is not able to come here in person because in this area she has really particularly intense asthma reactions, and so we recorded a video so you could have a chance to be able to hear from her. So let's play that now. Good morning, MPC.
Matt and Joy Robbins here. And we want to give you an update on our life and our family's life, my health, and how that affects really the life of MPC. So I know that Matt shared with you maybe a couple months ago about some challenges that I've been having, and actually some really significant challenges. And I want to fill you in some more on that. So I have come to Jacksonville, or developed in Jacksonville, a pretty severe list of allergies, and they have caused something called severe persistent allergic asthma, which I did not have before moving here and really was caught off guard with. We sought the help of some allergists last summer, and they did an allergy test and were kind of shocked and said, well, you're allergic to everything in Northeast Florida. And we asked what they recommended, and they recommended allergy shots. And so we together decided to get brave and get 3 shots a week. And sadly, that ended with anaphylaxis. And I tried again. They reduced the dose. I tried again. And I got anaphylaxis again. And they were really shocked. And in fact, this pretty renowned doctor here in Jacksonville said, haven't seen this in 20 plus years of practicing. And so he said, move to the mountains or go to Mayo and see what they say. And we didn't want to give up. We wanted to keep trying. And it's allergies. Like, there's nothing else. I'm perfectly healthy. Otherwise, there has to be another option. So we sought
tried both.
Yeah. So we sought some expertise at Mayo, and they investigated all different random anything else it could possibly be, and they came to the same conclusion. It's this really severe persistent allergic asthma, and we had a couple different ways of treating it. Most of the inhalers that treat it, I happen to be in the small percentage of people that most of them make the problem worse instead of making it better. We tried another medicine that goes into your tongue, I had a really sudden burst of anaphylaxis while I was in California last month, that sent us to the ER. It was really, really scary.
Yeah.
And when we came back and saw the doctor at Mayo right away, he said, I think it's time that you leave Florida. He's a allergist there who specializes in drug allergies, and I am the first patient to have anaphylaxis to this particular medicine. And that puts me in that special group. So we have tried a lot, MPC. We have wanted a lot to stay here. I have always dreamed of living at the beach, and God has been so good and given us that option for this season.
Was another thing that we
that we tried is, well, we don't want to leave Florida. Can we just move closer to the ocean? Because she doesn't react as much out there. And I mean, one of the experiments that didn't have the full result that we would need to make life possible for Joy here.
Mm-hmm. And so we have tried so much. We have tried pretty much all the options, and it is time for us to leave. And we are sad. We are thankful for the time here. It was not a mistake. It was really God's calling to us. The timing was just much shorter than we expected. We appreciate you. You have loved us well. You have let us share ourselves with you. Thank you. Thank you for all those who moved us both here when we first relocated. And again, when we relocated right at Christmas time, you dropped what you were doing and came and helped us move to the beach to see if that would help. Thank you also for those who serve in the food pantry, who have let my children run wild, pushing carts, delivering bags to folks that drive through. Thank you to those who serve in the Sunday school and teach the kids. Thank you for those who have served in Hang Ten. MPC has just been such a refuge for them in this challenging season, both of my health and just in the realities of the pandemic and how that intersects with someone who's having breathing trouble already. Thank you. This has been a season that has helped to shape our family, also helped to shape our posture in ministry, and it really has had good effects, even though it has been hard and full of a lot of suffering. And we bring this message to you with a lot of grief.
I've met with the session this last week, and they've been amazing and journeyed with us the last 10 months, praying with us and hoping with us for a different result and riding that roller coaster of prayer and hope with us. I let them know that in the interest of my wife's health, I need to wind down my time as your senior pastor. We had hoped to be here a long time, and but that can't be. I'll be around for the next 2 or 3 months as our church is figuring out what comes next, and I want to make sure there's a smooth transition and things are handed off well. And so I'm not leaving yet. We're not going yet. But just with the medical options no longer giving us hope that this can turn around, it's just time that we need to make that decision and move our family to where we know that Joy can breathe. And so God bless you. We always say we love loving people to love Jesus is what we're about, and you've loved us well, and we love you back, and we hope that Christ is praised in that. Mm-hmm. So God bless you, MPC.
This is hard. I love this church. I love this team. I love this session. Oh my gosh. We are so blessed by the abundance of incredible leaders in this church, and such a family that loves Jesus and loves each other. So this is hard. but I love my wife. And so I feel sure this is what we need to do. And this is the hard path of what following Jesus looks like for me in this moment. I want to invite up Craig and Jen. We want to share with you a little bit about kind of what's coming. Hopefully, put your minds at ease a little bit, and then we'll have a time of prayer. Like I said in the video, you know, I'm not leaving today. I'll probably have to get my wife back. When she's in California, she can go jogging. It's unbelievable the difference. Go whole weeks without a single inhaler. It's just it's amazing. So, but I'm going to stick around and be here for another 2-3 months, just really trying to help have a smooth transition to what comes next. And anyway, well, Craig, can you tell us a little bit about that? I know, man. I know.
At the time, and has been close to us through everything that's gone on as we began the process of preparing for Kevin's transition, and walked with us. And so Matt got us on a conference call with Dana, who's the executive of ECO, and a gentleman named John Tarek, who's the director of operations, on Thursday night, the session, and all the pastors met with him and talked about how we process this, how do we move forward, how our church continues on its mission to love people, to love Jesus. And they were pretty encouraging. We were important to them. We, as a session, decided that we should probably go get a transitional pastor that would give us time to do a search for a longtime pastor. And believe it or not, that's kind of a thing that people have as their career. And they felt like that we could actually have a list of potential people to talk to as early as next week, if not the week after. And so the session voted to elect a subcommittee of the session that would be the ones to select the transitional pastor while we just process and really live into what happens going forward. And so on that subcommittee, we elected Mary Beth Niger, Danielle Kaplan, Zan Frick, and myself. And so we will be working on that process and how that looks and who we're going to bring. And in the timeline that Matt outlined, he is willing to stay for the transition. It's certainly not likely we'll have somebody to be able to be here within that time frame, which really is our desire, that we don't really miss the opportunity to continue moving forward as we have been. And so I will tell you, walking into that meeting on Thursday, I think we all had apprehensions. And I think as we processed coming out of that meeting, I know me personally, I felt encouraged. And I think I have a real sense of confidence that God's in the midst of this in ways that you know, we can't even understand. You know, for Matt and Joy, I'm grieved, but I am glad for Joy. You know, that it just, after being with my brother for the last year and watching what he has agonized with and his wife, You know, it's tough. For our church, hopefully it will draw us together. I was reading something in a devotional, actually just yesterday, that I'll share with you out of Psalm 112, verse 7. It says, "They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith." I believe that is us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I also want to share with you what will be next for us. Throughout this last 10-11 months, I have have I prayed, and we've prayed and pinned my hopes, like, all right, this is going to be the thing that's going to work. It's going to be the shots, or it's going to be the sublingual, or it's going to be this or that, or the moving, or the air-conditioned vent. My goodness. The Moyers took our dog for 4 months. I've been trying everything. And every time I, pin my hopes and prayer on that, and in every disappointment, I find myself praying, like, God, like, why? Like, what? Like, God, we made it, God, we gave you mayo. how hard could it be to use mayo to do this miracle for us? They're mayo. And so I've had a lot of times of praying, God, what's going on? How can I love and serve you and also love and serve my wife and take care of her? And how's this all going to work, God? It turns out God doesn't take orders from me. I take orders from him, and made that clear. And so God, I think, has provided for us in a different way than the thing that we have been praying. Our church all right, try to shake my cry voice here. Our church is part of a wonderful family of churches, a Presbyterian denomination called ECO. So we're part of the Presbytery of Florida, which is part of a larger family of the ECO Presbyterian churches that are all over the country. One of our sister churches in the Bay Area of California has been looking for a senior pastor for a long time. They've been aware of Joy's health situation and how much we love MPC and want to stay with MPC, and so they committed months ago that they're going to pray with us for Joy's healing and that we would be able to stay. And they also let me know that if it comes to this, and if it comes to the options exhausted and that we have to move, that they would love for me to come and be their pastor. So they've invited me to come and officially candidate with them. That'll be in a couple weeks. So I'll go and preach, and the congregation will vote. We have to move either way that goes. We have to move because I have to get my wife to where she can breathe well, but... if they vote yes, then I have somewhere to go to. If not, then I'll be on my parents' couch again. But Joy, I think this is God's answer. He's been working, and we report to him for duty. And so he's telling us, I'm not done with you. I've got plans for you. We're going to write another chapter, and when we are there, she can breathe. So pray for us about that. I want to invite up Session. You guys can all come up, and I think Craig and Jen are going to each share.
As the session comes up, I'll just share with you some of the thoughts that I have had this past week. And I can't help but go back to the beginning of Matt's journey with us when Kevin was retiring, and that Kevin said, I don't know what's next for me, but I am clear that God is telling me this is the time. This is the time to go, the time to retire. And we had a search committee of people that were looking for our new senior pastor. And we interviewed several candidates, and we found Matt. And I think it was clear to them, clear to us, clear to Matt, that this was what was next for us, that Matt was called by God to be our next senior pastor. And I know that when that happened, I was excited, our family was excited, and we really thought, we really believed that this season of ministry together was going to be a long one. And we know now that Matt was called here for a short season. And it was the season of COVID, which just stinks in so many ways, but in so many other ways, he was such the right person to lead us through such a difficult year. The things that he brought from his other church experiences helped us move forward and do so many things in the midst of that. For that, I'm grateful. I think of the week that they moved here, they came to our house and had dinner, and it was the night before our daughter Reese was having a significant surgery, and they prayed for us. And I think of this past year, how we have prayed for Joy, and that's what life in Christ together looks like. And so we have walked this journey together of this very painful and difficult year. And I think, Matt, there is no way that you and Joy could have fought harder. You guys did everything you possibly could to stay. And I think this is a time for us to realize that it is clear to me that they have to go, that they can't stay here any longer, and that God has plans for them, that God has been with them and will go with them, but God really has been with us through Kevin's retirement, through Matt's coming, through this transition to come. God will be with us. And in so many ways, Matt was able to come for this short season of time and help us to move forward into new things as a church, things that we in our session have been committed to, things that we need to continue to grow and pursue and be about together. It's not going back in any way to who we were, because we need to live into who we are becoming. And so I, as a pastor of the church, am committed to doing that with you, and also to say goodbye and do that well, and to acknowledge that that I am sad, our family is sad, I'm sure that you are sad, but in the midst of that, it is clear that this is the time and this is what needs to happen.
I'm going to share just maybe a little more depth than Joy and Matt did, just from my perspective, kind of if I've watched my brother in Christ over the last almost 12 months, walk through this process with his wife, and just been amazed. I remember at the end of a Saturday morning bike ride with Bobby Schrader and myself, Matt said, "Hey, can I talk to you guys just a minute?" And I said, "Sure, yeah, of course." You know, we talk about all sorts of stuff on bike rides, and we got off our bikes, and we're standing there, and he starts to share the depth of Joy's allergy situations, and it was so much more than I think we've really heard. And you know, today when Joy shared a little bit, it was revealing. But God bless him. I mean. He told me he didn't like you, but he cried in the parking lot behind La Napolera. on Saturday morning. But
it's like a manly cry.
And I remember praying for him and thinking, okay, you know, God's got this. This is going to be okay. We can walk through this. But as they shared, there's immunologists. There's poking and prodding to figure out what you're allergic to. There's his joy talking about the shots and the anaphylactic reactions, and doctors saying, in all my years of practice, I haven't seen anything like this. And then the guy at Baptist said, I can't help anymore. Your only choice is to go to Mayo. And I think for me, as they started the process of Mayo, it was so great. For those of you who remember Iron Sharpens Iron, that was here, probably 2 months ago now. Matt and Joy were up here on the stage doing a breakout session on, I think it was marriage communication. It was fantastic. They were really great. But from doing that, and I don't remember how many hours she was on campus, it was like the next 2 days, she was in distress. And it was like, ooh, wow. What's that going to mean? And I think that, one thing that I have learned about Matt is he is a never give up person. I mean, I watched him try to find ways to stay, hope in things to come, when I don't know that I would have. And you've taught me a lot in that. And but I think, this is the right decision for them. It's hard for me. It's hard, probably going to be hard for our church for a little while. But I do think, as we think about this, there was a scripture that I read earlier, a different one that said, this is from Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Brothers and sisters, friends, I believe God is in the midst of this. And there is great things that are going to happen for healing for the Robins, for what's ahead for Mandarin Presbyterian Church, God. And so I stand before you confident in our God.
You see this group of people. I hope you treasure them. They are a treasure. They've offered to pray over me and my family. So we're grateful for that. So.
I would, anybody who would like to, we're going to lay on hands, Matt, and if you'd like to come and join us and lay on our hands, you can come forward now and join us as we begin to pray.
Turn off my mic so I don't cry into it.
Gracious God, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for your steadfast love that never fails us. And I thank you, God, that you have walked along Matt and his family through such difficult times, God, but that you have not left them. And Lord, our hearts grieve with them for the many trials and difficulties that they have been through. God, we just pray for healing, for joy. We pray that with this move, God, you would bring restoration to her. And Lord, we thank you for Matt. We thank you for his leadership. We thank you for his gifts. We thank you that you called him here. And God, we just pray for open doors for him, and we pray that you would continue to provide for him and his family. And Lord, we also pray for our church, for MPC, God, that you would come alongside us in what is ahead for us. God, we trust you. We put our trust in you. We know that you are with us, that you are a faithful God, And God, we look forward to what is next, knowing that you can do more than we can ask or imagine.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so sad. And yet, God is, as I reflect what's going on within my soul, I see you at work. And even in the midst of the sadness, I know at the heart of it is love. It's a love for the Robbins family and love for our church. And God, as I pray, you are the God who brings resurrection joy out of the sorrows of the cross. We know you're already at work in this in so many ways, and you will be generations into the future. God, as the Robbins family goes to where joy can breathe and goes to where we praise you that there is another call. How we pray that as they think back on their time here, on their time with us, that they would know that we love them. And they would know that we would look for those of us who will go to them look forward to seeing Matt at the national gatherings of ECO. But that they would even reflect on the times when joy could not breathe and see that you were there with them all the way. And God, I pray for our church that as we enter into transition, that you would give us a bit of the spirit of our brother here who has been such a rock and such a persevering person, as Craig put it, a never giving up sort of a person. That we would have a bit of that gift of the Spirit. And you would continue to make us like that.
God, I thank you that you remind us that Christ is the head of the church. Help us, God, to put you before ourselves and all things we do. God, in the midst of this time where we feel loss, where we feel shock, where we are trying to understand why the prayer wasn't answered the way we would choose. God, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. So help us to place our hope and our trust in you, that your hand is in this. And God, as we pray for Matt now, and as our hands are on the shoulders of others, reaching forward and ultimately touching Matt, God, we give you thanks for the body of Christ and the opportunity that you give each of us to be a part of that. None is insignificant, and God, you can use us in powerful ways. And perhaps, God, this is the season where you are going to have some of us step into places where we have not been before, where there will be some that will need to speak up and use their voice to love people, to love Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to be open to what it is that you are doing, and might we allow you to lead. I pray for Matt and Joy and Hannah and Peter and Abigail, and just ask that they would feel your embrace throughout this journey. Help them to not be in the midst of feeling like they're being tossed around by the waves, but that you would help them to feel secure in your arms. God, be present with us. Help us to love each other well. Help us to extend grace in this time. God, we love you and thank you and pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
I just love this church. You guys are amazing. Believe it or not, I'm going to attempt to preach a little mini sermon right now. Because we're the people of God, and this is his church, and we gather around his word, and we apply it to our lives. So what I want to, didn't feel right to kick off our Acts series on Pentecost today, so we're going to wait a week on that. I want to share with you just a little reflection on how to walk with God in challenging times, how to believe that God is good even when life feels bad, how to cope with disappointments in prayer. Because you know what, I'm not the only one who faces bump in the roads, right? I mean, you guys have hard things that happen in your life, and you guys know, you know what it's like to be disappointed and not get the thing that you ask for in prayer, and to ask the question, why God, why? So I want to share with you what I do in moments like this, what sort of theological resources I draw on to understand the world around me when it feels like it's shaking, so that maybe it could be useful to you in your life when you hit moments like this. So here's what I do and what I'm doing now. The first thing that I do is I look back at the cross. Look back at the cross. Scripture teaches us that we do not have a God who's aloof to pain, far off, distant, cold, uncaring, unknowing about our pain and suffering. We have a different sort of God. I'll share with you just a brief excerpt from Isaiah chapter 53, which speaks of what we then later saw on the cross. It said, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." This has been a really hard road for my family, but we have not been alone in it. Jesus knows what it is like to suffer. And Jesus knows what it's like to gasp for air. He's not far off, unknowing, uncaring. He suffers too. And we believe that just as he suffered on the cross, that he actually suffers with us, that he feels our pain. I take comfort from that. That's the first part, to look back at the cross. The second thing that I do is to look around for the Spirit. I just look in all the hardship. A lot of times we look at all the things that are hard, but you look around for the Spirit. Kind of in a similar way, Mr. Rogers, as a kid, taught so many of us that when you see some crisis on TV, look around for the helpers. There's always helpers. So similar way, we look around for the Spirit. Where's the Spirit at work? Now, I want to share with you a little nuance in a particular scripture that I find very important in moments like this for my life. So I want to share with you the same scripture, Romans 8:28, in two different translations. And I'm going to tell you that I prefer one translation to the other, okay? The first one is this, the King James Version of Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." I've often, in counseling people that are going through tragedy or that have suffered some horrible injustice done to them or something, and they're asking, why would God do that to me? I just want to share with you that I find this, that burden that sometimes Christians carry to interpret everything that happens as though God caused it to be not necessary. I actually find this particular translation to be kind of problematic and confusing in moments like this. I do not believe that God caused my wife's suffering. I don't believe that God causes the pain and suffering or the injustices that you suffer in your life. Not everything that happens in this world is caused by God. Sometimes we live in a fallen and a broken world, and bad things happen in life, and life can be hard. For me, the better translation, which makes a lot more sense to me, which still recognizes the sovereignty of God and also his goodness, is the NIV translation, and it reads like this, the same exact scripture, but translated from the Greek in this way. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things, God works for the good. Now, I know that may seem like just a subtle reordering. It sounds so similar, but there's a very important difference, and the translations kind of divide on which way to translate this, but it's really quite important, because in this translation, it doesn't mean that God is causing every pain in our life. Instead, it describes God as the rescuer, the companion, and the advocate, right? The world's messed up sometimes. There's other forces in the world that are doing bad things. And yes, God set up the world and he made it wild and free, but describes his particular action as stepping into the chaos, stepping into the pain, into the disappointment, and laboring on behalf of us. The Holy Spirit enters into every hard situation and brings good. The Holy Spirit labors on our behalf to bring us good, even in our trying circumstances. And we have seen that. We've seen that. Even though God didn't answer our prayers in the way that we really tried to urge him and just given us one of these treatments to work and have healing and make it work for me to continue to be here for a long, 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 long time, God did not abandon us. God loved us through you, through your loving care, through ways of shaping us, and also through this church that I didn't go looking, but just through this family of churches has reached out and feels like the call of God. So in all things, God's there. There's never a situation he's not there, not that he's willing your suffering, but he will meet you in it, and he'll labor for your good. And I believe that. So when I look back at the cross, I see a Jesus who cares and who suffers with us. When I look around for the Spirit, I see the Spirit working. The third piece after look back at the cross and look around at the Spirit is to look ahead to the kingdom. The first year that I was with you, I came in preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and walked you through the Gospel of Matthew in particular and a few other books of the Bible, just as Jesus lays out this glorious vision of the kingdom of God that is coming, that is present with us now, but coming and coming in all of its fullness. I lean into the kingdom in times like this, and I want to invite you to stand with me for this reading. This comes from the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation, and it might appear to be the end of the story because it's the last pages, but it's not actually. It's the beginning of the preamble. It's the beginning of the introduction. It's the foreshadowing of the real story, which is yet to be written and will go on for all of eternity. And I want to read to you beginning in chapter 21 and a few verses in. They'll start to come up on the screen. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." In verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making all things new." One day, the fullness of the kingdom we will all live in the same city, the New Jerusalem. And on that day, there will be no more asthma. There will be no more goodbyes and no more tears. And we will be together and we will be with Jesus forever. So when things are hard here, I look forward all the more to that day. So look to the cross, look to the Spirit, and look to the kingdom. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful to you. We are grateful for how you have loved us. You have loved us. And you have stood with us, and you lead us. We're grateful for this church. Thank you for this wonderful family of people. Lord, we trust you to lead us forward. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.